Thanks for listening to the podcast from Faith Radio Mornings.
Start your day connecting faith to life with Faith Radio Mornings.
Good morning. Bill Arnold here, probably one of the best kept secrets in radio, and I'd like to keep it that way, so do not tell your friends about me. I would appreciate that. Good morning. We're having another brilliant Tuesday. I want you to be encouraged as you start your day, or if you're just getting home from work and going to bed, maybe you've worked that third shift. Have a good night's sleep. Either way, we're glad that you are listening. I want to start with a little word of encouragement. Jesus obviously did not give his life so we could have fret over petty emotions and life's disappointments, of which there are plenty, by the way. So I want to look at 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." That's a big encouragement in my world as I get up and face the day, and I hope you can identify with that as well. We are having a great morning here at Faith Radio. We've got lots to talk about today. One of the things that I found interesting in the Yukon, because we're having such mild weather here in the Twin Cities, and the upper Midwest is kind of getting a break this winter. So I'm enjoying winter stories, and there's one in Whitehorse, Yukon, where some folks, here's what they're doing for cold cash. They're going out with wet hair and freezing their hair in chilly temperatures, and the operators of these hot pools invited visitors every day to this contest. So you go out and you have your best frozen hair photos, and the winner gets $700, which most of it, I think, goes to pay for your pneumonia bills. But it nevertheless is kind of a interesting little contest. And here's an interesting story I saw this morning. An old TV set served as a piggy bank for a guy, a Canadian guy, another guy that's living in the cold. But it turns out he forgot the cash, and it was stashed in the set, and the money just remained there inside the set for 3 decades. Until workers at a recycling yard found the money while they were taking the TV apart. And the police said that the 60-year-old man got his money back. They reunited him with his $1,000 in Canadian cash. And the grateful man told police he didn't know it was missing and thought it was merely somewhere in the house. Do you have cash laying around the house? And if you do, how much? And what is your address? Because I'd be curious to know that kind of information. And you can email us here at faithradio.com, because that'd be an email I would read. So we've got a great morning coming up. We have some news coming up after the break. We're also going to talk to some friends from the Gospel Mission, Gospel Union Mission, and a big event they've got coming up on Saturday. And if you just want to get your feet wet and you want to see what it's like to get out and be amongst the poor and the people who are needy and maybe living on the street and maybe involved with drug addiction and all that, this is a great opportunity. I hope I'm phrasing that correctly. I do a lot of work with people in addiction, so it's some of the most exciting, rewarding work you'll experience. And I have a show on Sunday nights with George Fraser called Real Recovery, so tune into that if you like. But I'm a little addicted right now to sleep, and I'm just craving that pillow. Just give me 5 more minutes. 5 more. That's all I want. All right, we're taking a little break. When we come back, news of the day. Thanks for joining us on Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. Be right back. Nine minutes after the hour, good morning. Bill Arnold here. Hope you're having a good start to your day. Last week, I think it was Saturday, there was a campaign event that Mr. Trump had, and it was began with his lovely wife getting up and basically reading the Lord's Prayer, which I thought was quite sweet. And boy, did that create a firestorm. The morning team here of Paul Perot and Rebecca Maxwell, well, we're going to have a little discussion about this. And Rebecca, I think you brought it to my attention at first, saying, Wow, the Twitter feed lit up.
Yes.
And you follow Twitter much more than I do.
Well, and sometimes that's a dangerous place. And I'm not saying,
very dangerous place.
I'm not saying all my habits are safe ones, but I do follow Twitter. And I couldn't understand the reaction that was going on over what appeared to be simply the First Lady of the United States reading the most famous prayer in mm-hmm. existence. And so I went and listened to it and see if you can hear anything controversial or see what you hear. It's about 30 seconds.
Okay.
And this is Melania Trump in Florida on Saturday.
Okay.
I would like to think that I would.
No, it's not.
I think that was Marco Rubio.
This is
and
Melania.
He was not saying the Lord's Prayer.
This is Melania Trump in Florida on Saturday.
Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Okay, so that was beautiful.
I find it hard, you know, the mic was on. So it's hard not to pray, you know, because of my upbringing, it's hard not to pray that along out loud.
Well, and people were doing that in
exactly.
the audience.
Exactly, you heard that.
That was kind of the design, is that there were, you could see in the audience there, the people that went from campaign mode or rally mode, like, hey, we're looking at the president of the United States, to bowing their heads and praying along with Christ's prayer in Matthew chapter 6. And so I think the question for me was, why is this controversial? But there were, maybe predictably these days, immediately it started a firestorm in the Twitterverse and in opinion media about how this was a violation of separation of church and state, for example, or that this indicated that they're trying to establish some form of like favoritism over of Christianity versus any other religion, and that that's illegal, and just a lot of ad hominem attacks, which I won't trouble your senses this morning with.
Well, but, I just love the fact you used the word ad hominem.
Oh,
yeah, that's impressive.
That's your Latin for the morning.
Yeah,
she had her coffee.
I had my coffee this Tuesday.
I took Latin in high
but
school.
It made me start to wonder a little bit about what we think the place of prayer is in our society. I mean, if we're just looking at all of this as a moment in time in a political context, I think we're missing the bigger picture. And I wondered what people think that are, maybe you're listening to Faith Radio right now. I kind of wonder what you think about this and what this says about this moment in time in our culture, that the First Lady of the United States speaks the words of Christ's prayer over the people, and this is a controversy.
Mm-hmm. I will refer to John 15:18 that says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first.
That's true. And these are Jesus' own words.
Right.
And so if
yeah.
people are getting mad about the context of it, that might be one thing. But are they getting mad about the context, or are they getting mad that these are just Jesus' words being spoken in public on the biggest platform in the world?
Yeah.
It is an exercise in religious activity. And some people just don't like seeing that in the public right now. There's just that vocal group right now that, especially in close proximity to something religious, or pardon me, something political. And so, hands up, scary, scary.
And it's not just religion, it's also specifically Christian.
Well, true.
And I've seen that pointed out several times, that this is unique in the way that lots of, especially in modern times, there's a tendency to mention God or the creator in more vague terms, and especially in our leaders, that they tend to want this unifying notion of the higher power without specifically calling out Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fascinating to me, too, that we're willing to, you know, I guess, abide by the greater authority of this higher power, so to speak. But Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith,
mm-hmm.
is immediately divisive.
Well, because
when brought into the context,
because Acts 4:12 says salvation is to be found in Him alone.
Yes.
In all the world, mm-hmm. there is no other name by which you can be saved. So if you bring up that name, the power of it will cause division instantly.
Oh, that, I love that inclusive exclusive.
Right.
Because it's exclusive. You have to go through Christ, but it's open to all who believe. So it's like, you know, believe.
Right. And then I thought it was a little interesting that they were critical of her reading it. And I think, let's see, she's fluent in five languages. And you put 29 cameras on me and I might want to read it too.
Yeah.
And I grew up and showed up to school the first day. And they got out a drill bit and started putting the Our Father in my head. Guess where I went? But, you know, so even the history I have of reciting that prayer,
mm-hmm.
You put me in front of a crowd that size. I might like notes just to refer to. But, I mean, my goodness, she speaks five languages. And I think, yeah, okay, go ahead and read it. Use it as a little safety net. All right, we're going to take a little break. If you have an opinion on that, if you think about what we're talking about and you go one way or the other, call us. Let us know. We'll even take the call, maybe, for sure. I mean, I'm not open to it. I'm not open to it, but I'm kind of open to it. I'm inclusive, but a little exclusive right now. So
that's perfect.
I don't know. Pick up your phone, your cell phone, and dial 1-877-933-2484, and then you can tell us what you think. All right. You listen to Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold in studio. I'll be right back. Minutes after the hour. Good morning, everybody. Bill Arnold here. We are having a lively discussion with Rebecca and Paul. We're talking about Melania Trump and when she got up and recited the Lord's Prayer, how lovely it was. And it turns out that it's causing an entire firestorm across the country. And did she step over the line? It was an event that she could pretty much do what she wanted because it was not... It was not a political event, was it?
Well, I mean, it was a rally, if you will,
rally.
For Trump, you know, and she was there, too. So, yeah, I mean, there's a political nature to it. And I guess somebody had even called it a campaign stop. It's like there's not an official campaign going on.
No, they won. But there is a political context to it. So I can understand if people are concerned about the politicization, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But in reality, as a Christian, when I'm looking at this, I'm seeing the words of Christ being broadcast on the biggest platform in the world. And I don't see anything wrong with that, just to be frank. And I'm wondering where if you are coming from a different perspective, I'd like to know why and what the concerns are in your heart. I mean, is it about the fact that this is someone praying in public or a political leader praying in public? Is that the problem? I'm like I said, I don't see an issue with it. But if you do, I'd like to know why.
So give us a call. 877-933-2484, and we'll get you on the air, hopefully.
We'll take the ninth caller for some reason. The ninth caller seems like that's a magic number.
It's a good number.
Yeah. And we also have an interesting clip on Marco Rubio talking about civility. And boy, haven't we lost civility in our country? Aren't we being less and less civil to each other? And I think that's even a bigger problem. Rebecca, you've got that queued up,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, I do.
Let's hear what Marco said.
I would like to think that I would have been one of the people objecting, and here's why. Turn on the news and watch these parliaments around the world where people throw chairs at each other and punches. And ask yourself, how does that make you feel about those countries? Doesn't give you a lot of confidence about those countries. Now, I'm not arguing that we're anywhere near that here tonight, but we're flirting with it. We're flirting with it in this body, and we are flirting with it in this country. We are becoming a society incapable of having debates anymore. In this country, if you watch the big policy debates that are going on in America, no one ever stops to say, I think you're wrong. I understand your point of view. I get it. You have some valid points. But let me tell you why I think my view is better. I don't hear that anymore. Here's what I hear almost automatically. And let me be fair, from both sides of these debates. Immediately, as soon as you offer an idea, the other side jumps and says, the reason why you say that is because you don't care about poor people.
The Metro's Faith 90.7 and AM 90.
You're this or you're that or you're in this body, and we are not hear that anymore. Here's what I hear almost automatically, and let me be fair, from both sides of these debates. Immediately, Immediately, as soon as you offer an idea, the other side jumps and says, the reason why you say that is because you don't care about poor people, because you only care about rich people, because you're this or you're that or you're the other. And I'm just telling you guys, we are reaching a point in this republic where we're not going to be able to solve the simplest of issues because everyone is putting themselves in a corner where everyone hates everybody. Now, I don't pretend to say that I am not myself from time to time in heated debates outside of this forum. Been guilty of perhaps hyperbole, and for those, I'm not proud of it. But I got to tell you, I think what's at stake here tonight and as we debate moving forward is not simply some rule, but the ability of the most important nation on earth to debate in a productive and respectful way the pressing issues before us.
Well, that was interesting, and I threw a chair at Paul during that when that tape was being played.
Fortunately, I was quick enough to dodge it.
Yes, you did. You did duck. But there was certainly he told that with great passion, and there is a loss of civility, and it seems that we're digging in deeper, and we're all taking our sides, and then there's very little in the marketplace of ideas, ideas being exchanged with civility.
Maybe you want to call it the Twitterification of the Senate.
The Twitterification?
Yes.
Is that what you said?
The Twitterification.
Okay.
Because, you know, you see that on Twitter so much, and in those 140 characters, just barb after barb going back and forth. And it's hard to reason in 140 characters. Not that you can't, but it is extremely difficult. And it doesn't happen very well.
Well, so. And it might be because that's not the goal. The goal is to just express yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
And not
this
listen. You don't have to listen to anybody else as long as you're expressing yourself. And why would we, to turn the question on its head, why would we be listening to somebody else, especially if we disagree with them? Well, because we respect them
mm-hmm.
as human beings, as, you know, fellow creatures created in the image of God. And we say, even if we think we totally disagree with them, maybe there's something in their experience or maybe there's something in their thought process that we can learn from. And they deserve, therefore, the common, what we might call common decency or respect, to be heard out and to engage in a logical and respectful way. If you're not interested in dialogue, if all you're interested in is being heard or pushing your perspective, then really that must require the expense of another.
Mm-hmm.
You win at the expense of somebody else, and that's not really a respectful transaction. If you don't respect the other person, then it leads to name-calling and chair-throwing mm-hmm. on the outside.
If I could put my two cents in right now, which has been adjusted for inflation, I think most
put down
of us,
that chair, Rebecca.
Most of us carry on parallel monologues. It's not that we're actually talking to each other. We're just waiting for one person to stop talking so the other person can start talking. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we have a breakdown and a loss of civility because we really aren't listening to each other, not stepping in the other's shoes and not really hearing them out because we don't care. We just want our opinion to be heard.
Yeah. Yep. That's about it.
No,
was I that good?
Yes.
You were that good.
My.
You nailed it, man.
Wow. You guys are giving me the blank
stare. I got nothing
here.
To add there.
We were listening, and we didn't want to insert our parallel monologue.
Exactly.
Well, you see, there you go. Now I've got you guys all freaked out. But even in your relationships, your personal ones, and you know, your friends, your family, are you talking to each other? Are you listening? Mm-hmm. Or are you just going, the minute that person stops talking, I'm going to start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you go, there's the loss of civility.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We have lost the art of conversation in many respects.
And I think we've lost the art of listening. I think listening is hard. It's hard mm-hmm. work, and it's an art form.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, the old cliche, God gave us two ears and one mouth. We should be using the ears a lot more. But I think the giving someone the gift of being understood is a great friendship builder,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great
mm-hmm.
discourse builder into the conversation where we're going to talk about politics, religion, or whatever, but I think the highest goal is that we can point them to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if we can't have any kind of civility in conversations about general topics, how do we segue into talking about what matters most?
There you go.
Wow. Oh, yeah, now I'm exhausted.
I can't, and we still got a long way to go.
I can't do this anymore. We'll take a little break. It's 26 minutes after the hour. Lots more coming up on Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here with Rebecca and Paul. Thanks for joining us. 29 minutes after the hour. Good morning, everybody. So nice you're with us today. We're going to take a little news break, and when we come back, I have in-studio guests. Spoiler alert. All right? That's all I'm going to say. Be back in a minute. Six 33, best-selling author and apologist Lee Strobel has been defending the Christian faith for more than 35 years. Lee says you can't really give other people true grace unless you've fully experienced God's grace. Let's hear from him.
Until we understand God's grace and can really drink it in and experience it deeply, until we do that, it's hard for us to really show grace to other people. We tend to be conditional in our love. And I'll be your friend if you do this and this, or I'll, you know, it's subtle sometimes, but to be gracious people, I think we first have to experience the grace of God. And if we don't experience that, or we don't feel that, we don't understand that fully, I think it's hard for us to show it to other people.
You can find the full interview with Lee Strobel at our website, myfaithradio.com.
How many copies of the Bible do you have in your home? I'm guessing more than one. This is Jim Garlow. In fact, many of us not only have more than one Bible, we have several different translations. But are we reading them? Is God's Word changing us? The Bible is still the number one best-selling book ever, but it might very well be the least read. It's not that we're illiterate. We can read. We just don't read. And family times around the Bible? Praying together? Essentially gone. Lost to soccer and other activities that we've allowed to replace our times together. It's our privilege and our responsibility as parents to instill in our own children the love of God, the love of reading His Word. Make time with God an essential time as a family. You will never regret doing it. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
All right, 35 minutes after the hour. I am learning the ropes here at the morning show. Rebecca just told me this is a live show. I did not know that. That just
liver than previously advertised.
I know. That took me off my game a little bit, so I'm going to have to adjust the way I'm doing this now. All right, I've got two in-studio guests, which is always a rare treat, Josh Edwards and John Foley. Josh is from Revive Minnesota, and John is from the Union Gospel Mission. Gentlemen, pull up a chair and make yourselves uncomfortable. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Now, we got a big event coming up Saturday. I want to hear all the details. Withhold none.
Marvelous. I'm Josh. I'm with a ministry called Revive Minnesota. And I don't really know what I do personally, but I know what we do as a ministry.
Okay.
We are all about coming alongside of the body of Christ, uniting the body of Christ, equipping them, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, which is really an Ephesians 4 kind of thing. To see the body really come alive and revived in what they're called to do as far as reaching the lost and making disciples. So that's what we're doing. John is with Union Gospel Mission, and we're good friends. We've been friends for many years. And we decided we are going to tag team for kind of a kingdom merger type of thing that we want to do on Saturday. So at Union Gospel Mission this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to be doing our Twin Cities quarterly outreach with Revive Minnesota. And these guys have graciously opened their doors to us. And we are going to come together, do that, unite as the body of Christ, equip the people of God that are going to come. And we're actually going to hit the streets of St. Paul to share the good news with people on the streets.
Okay, John, anything he just said, is any of it true?
A lot of it's true.
Okay, well, let's hear your side of the story. Let's hear your side of the story.
No, I love the ministry of Revive, and I've been impacted greatly by it, even as a pastor, just learning to pray, to get together, to go out, to step out, and to share faith, to share God's love. And when we started talking about this and sat down for a lunch at Cassetta's Pizza, that was a good time.
Jesus, thank you.
Who paid?
I think I paid.
Okay,
but
this is critical. As to how I view you guys.
I paid.
Okay,
just so you know.
Whatever.
Just saw this as a great opportunity to go out to do this. I mean, the mission has been around since 1902, And it's been about the gospel. It's been about good works. It's been about evangelism, been about discipleship. They always said from the very beginning, it's not about free meals. It's about freed beings.
So
we're going out and with some of our staff and students and believers around the Twin Cities to reach out and to bring bags of hope, which are some street essentials that we can hand out. So we're going to pack lunches and go out and just see what God does.
Okay, if I could make an observation here, and this is very quotable, so you might want to get out a pen and write this down. I've talked to a lot of believers about evangelism, and I've come to a couple of conclusions. And one is we just don't love the lost enough. Mm. We feel compassion for them, or we see them that we have an urgency, a sense of urgency for the lost.
Yeah,
that's one thought I have. And the other one is that we do not show our faith in action like we should.
Right.
So it sounds like you guys have got this thing nailed down. You have a love for the lost,
yeah,
and you want to take and put your faith in action. Now, if I'm driving in my car going, I don't have a lot going on Saturday, and I want to get out of cleaning the garage, and I might actually go do this, how would I participate? And maybe I'm not comfortable because I don't Union Gospel Mission, isn't that scary?
Well, here's the irony, is we're putting two scary things together. And it either makes it really scary or it cancels each other out.
Yeah.
And this is why we're kind of stomping on the enemy here, is people don't step out and share their faith because it's scary, because he doesn't want us to experience the joy of sharing Christ, of seeing Christ in that experience. It's really scary. I spent 20 years in inner city Minneapolis working with youth and comfortable walking around gangs, but it's scary to sit down with a homeless person. And these are two scary things,
mm-hmm,
but it's like when that happens, miracles happen.
Mm.
You know, Jesus says, do this to the least of these, and you'll do it to me, and you experience Jesus.
Yeah.
So we're excited to see some fireworks. And Josh came down yesterday. We have a student staff worship once a month at the mission, and we try and break down this barrier of students and staff. And we just had an awesome time in the Lord. And just saying, come down Saturday. Come down to do this.
So if we really believe the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, we will share it with people.
Right.
So ask yourself that question. Do you believe that?
Mm.
And then you can join in on the festivities on Saturday. And it's,
that's right.
And that's, talk more about that.
So, like John said, we are going to be packing lunches. So our thing with...
I have to show up and work?
Absolutely.
Oh, now I've lost interest.
Absolutely. We're going to have some training and some worship and prayer. So kind of the unity factor, we really rally around just the simple gospel of Jesus. It's not Jesus plus, not Jesus with addendums and our denominational background. It's just like, let's just focus on the simple gospel, because the reality is the lost, they don't care about your doctrine or your particular denominational flavor.
Mm-hmm.
They're just wondering, how has Jesus changed your life?
Mm-hmm.
And they want to know that personally. And so what you're going to experience on Saturday is it's just the real you and the real Jesus with real people.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys, you'll go out, and we break up into groups of four.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one person's the driver. We have another person who's a prayer person, another person who's the team leader, another person who's the scribe. And the scribe, really what they do is they take down information if people want follow-up. We don't force it. This whole thing is not a forceful thing. It's all wrapped up in love. Within Time to Revive, the ministry I'm with, we really have four core words that we focus on. It's love, listen, discern, respond. It's like this whole thing begins and ends with love,
mm-hmm,
and listening to people's stories and discerning what the Spirit of God is saying. And then we respond to what God's doing. It's never ramrodded or shoved down anybody's throat. It's just, it's a simple conversation, and it's just love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that takes away a lot of the, well, I don't know if it really takes away a lot of the fear, but it takes away some of the fear, knowing that you don't have to do this perfectly. You don't have to work an agenda. It's all about just loving people right where they're at. And so we are going to meet spiritual needs, but as John said, we're going to meet tangible needs too, practical needs,
mm-hmm,
packing lunches, handing out lunches to folks in need on the street.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, just to follow up, Josh, with that, people going out in teams of four, when Revive Twin Cities first came here a couple of years ago, I remember everyone except three missionaries from my last church said, oh, this is way out of my comfort zone.
Really?
But you have no excuses because you don't have to be the team leader that leads those conversations. You can just be the person that handles the distractions, right, that takes care of the dog. Mm-hmm. Or you can be that person that's praying. And so forget that. Just step out and, and watch God work. It's
amazing. That'd be my luck. I'd have to tame down the Rottweiler, you know. That would be comforting for me. All right, I have a question. So let's say I want a friend of mine and I want to do this. Can we go together? Can we be part of a four-person team, or are we going to be split up?
Absolutely. It is. We want you to be comfortable. We want you to be comfortably uncomfortable. So if you need to hold a little hand of somebody next to you, that's totally okay. Bring a friend. But we do. The idea is to cultivate unity in the body of Christ and to get people out of their just familiarity. So if you have a friend that comes, absolutely, you'll be on a team with them if you'd like to. But you'll also be with people that you don't know as well.
Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a little bit about homelessness and what you're going to meet on the street. Obviously, they didn't maybe sleep in a bed or take a shower. And is there some mental illness issues that I would have to be concerned about? And, you know, we sometimes have this idea in our head of what it's going to be like to come into contact with a homeless person, but the reality could be way different. And how do we prepare for that? All right. So when we come back, I do want to talk more about your event coming up on Saturday, how people might get involved. And it's great having you guys in studio. So far, you're doing fantastic. Not as good as me, but so far, very good. So it's 45 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back in just a minute. Seven minutes after the hour. Good morning. Bill Arnold here. Talking to my two new best friends, Josh Edwards and John Foley. I'm not sure which is which, but it doesn't. Just kidding. Josh is on my left. John is on my right. Josh is from Revive Minnesota, and John is from Union Gospel Mission. Big event coming up Saturday. If you are looking for an opportunity to serve your community, this is going to be a great, great event, and you're going to be able to get your hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
What do I mean by that?
Well,
I say things without any idea where I'm going with it.
Hey, you know, really, that's exactly what we're going to be doing on Saturday is we're going to be getting in the dirt with some people.
Mm-hmm.
And not just people who are in need, but just, you know, average people on the street. And, you know, really, if you digging in the dirt, to me, that what that means is relationship.
Yep.
And so it's like when we encounter people on the streets with this outreach that we're going to be doing at Union Gospel Mission, it's kind of going to be this Jesus love sandwich, a merge between meeting people in need and addressing homelessness, but also sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, meeting tangible needs and spiritual needs. And so that's what it looks like. It's getting in the dirt means having conversations with people and loving people right where they're at,
mm-hmm.
Getting to know their story. Getting in the dirt also is, you know, if we have people come to Christ and receive Jesus, we don't want just simple converts. We are looking to make lifelong followers, disciples of Jesus. And so we have a whole follow-up process and discipleship process that we have for folks, as mm-hmm. well as the training for evangelism. So that's kind of what it looks like, getting your hands dirty. We're going to be packing lunches for folks. So I guess that's kind of what it means to get your hands dirty.
Hopefully they're clean at the start, but
yeah, we have hand sanitizer. It'll be okay.
What it means to get your hands dirty?
Oh no! I was just, it looked like you had something more to say, which I found fascinating, but maybe maybe not. But that's fine too. As we talk about interacting with people who are living on the street, so many people are desperate to be listened to because
mm-hmm.
they have these stories, and some of them play the victim card a little bit. And others are truly been so marginalized that nobody listens to them anymore.
Yeah.
Literally, nobody cares about what they have to say.
Right.
And once you offer them that gift of understanding and, wow, thank you for sharing that, all of a sudden their whole demeanor changes because some another fellow human being cares about me.
Yeah. What I would say to that is I guess that's how we earn the right to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
you earn the right to be heard by listening, by opening your ears. And there's so many different evangelism approaches. You got the classic, the bullhorn guy on the street corner yelling and screaming, you know, turn or burn. And, and which I guess is fine. It's not really our cup of tea. But I think what we've found is that as we love people and listen to their stories, it earns the right for us to speak into their lives. We really believe that it's relationship that will draw people to Christ. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And when they see that, when they encounter that, when they're heard and felt valued and loved. And I think especially in the case of homelessness and just people struggling on the streets, I think they are longing and dying to be heard. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity for you to hear some stories from people, get to know them, and share the love of Jesus with them.
And the beauty of the Revive model is the listening starts way before we go out. It's taking time to worship and taking time to pray and to seek God's face and to say, Jesus, show us the people today of your choosing. Show us the people of peace. And just miracle after miracle after miracle, story after story of God orchestrating these divine encounters. So it's that interaction that's amazing, right? That leads to that then you... I've been able to tell people God gave me a picture of you before we met, and then to lead them to the Lord is an incredible thing to see God work throughout that encounter.
Well, I'm curious because the Union Gospel Mission coming together with Revive Minnesota, it's a perfect relationship of saying we have a love for the lost and we also have a love for meeting the needs of people and giving them little necessities that they have. You guys are providing them a little pouch that have toiletries and the kind of things that make such a huge difference in their life.
Yeah.
Plus, they've got a little bag that they can carry more of their junk in. You know, it's like you come into the world with nothing, and if you're homeless, you leave with 39 jackets, it seems. But, I mean, they're seriously, they have so much need, and when you offer them a little bit of genuine love and listening and stuff that they can actually use that night and that day, you are getting their attention in a really significant way. And then you're telling them about the love of Jesus. And well, I tell you, that's the great combo right there.
Absolutely. Yeah, again, it's meeting tangible needs. We love to meet spiritual needs, obviously share the good news. But it's, again, it's kind of with that concept of earning the right to be heard. You earn the right to be heard when... when we offer them a bag of hope or we offer them a lunch, or a lot of times, like what we like to do is if we see on the street, if somebody has a moving van in a residential area, hey, we're a group of believers. We were just wondering, can we help you move today? Can we help you pack your truck? It's looking for those opportunities to earn the right to be heard by meeting a tangible need, which will open up a door to meet spiritual needs. How can we pray for you? You know, and really that's what we're going to ask when we hit the streets. We're going to ask a simple question. We're going to say, how can we pray for you? And just go with that and just listen to the Holy Spirit. And if it opens up the door to share the gospel, we'll do that.
Yeah, if you have a question about this event, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. They can answer the questions right away, 1-877-933-2484. One of the things that we don't want to overlook is the joy of the fellowship of just showing up on Saturday and being amongst a lot of excited believers.
Absolutely.
You know, I think our culture is increasingly more lonely. People are always sitting around going, well, I can check Facebook, see if anyone's... you know, posted anything, or you can get off your couch on Saturday morning and be amongst a lot of believers that are doing great things.
You know, when we jumped in with Time to Revive, this ministry, and I'm a part of Revive Minnesota, which is a branch of that, what we really love to do is we want to see revival in the church. And part of that, what you're talking about, is fellowship. We want churches to rub shoulders with other churches, Christians to be together with other Christians. And that is something that sparks revival. It's unity. You know, the blessing always comes after unity, like Psalm 133 says. So anyway, absolutely. Fellowship is going to be a huge part of it.
So we're going to be at our men's campus at 435 University Avenue East in St. Paul, just east of the Capitol. And people can sign up at reviveminnesota.org and the Revive Facebook page. So sign up and come on out.
Will there be valet parking?
Oh, yeah.
Just okay, for good. You, man.
Awesome. Just for me.
Just for you.
Awesome. Then count me in. I can't stand going to those events without valet parking.
And just to pop in here, this sounds like an amazing event, a great opportunity to really meet the physical and spiritual needs of those in our communities in the Twin Cities where Faith Radio is based. But if somebody wants that for their community, if they're listening in another part of our listening area, are there some resources? Can you help them out with a similar type of event in their area and point them in the right direction?
Absolutely. So Revive Minnesota, we are launching all over Minnesota. Currently right now in Dodge County, it's a small rural area down south. South Central Minnesota. We're tapping into every town we can get a hold of, small towns, big towns, whole counties, regions, and we are pursuing revival here in this community. And that's what it looks like, is uniting the body of Christ, equipping the saints, and sending them out to do the works that Jesus commanded us to do. So please invite us, and you can invite us on reviveminnesota.org. We have an invite us tab, and be sure to do that. It'd be great.
These guys are awesome. I have to say, this is an exciting idea, and God bless your efforts on Saturday. I know it's going to be a great day for the Lord. We'll be praying for you, and we'll be celebrating the victory that comes as a result. God will get all the glory. Thanks for your hard work. Thanks for being here, too.
Thanks
again. Yeah, it's 56 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be right back on Faith Radio Mornings. Bill Arnold here. Don't go anywhere.
Finding encouragement together.
You have strengthened me 1,000 times over in my walk with God, and you've empowered me to then extend God's love, mercy, and grace to others who may be hurting, falling in their walk, or who simply just need some encouragement. He's blessed me to give, and as He continues to lead, direct, and challenge me, I will continue to give. Thank you.
Learning, growing, and strengthening our faith together. Faith Radio.
Minutes after the hour. What a delightful conversation we just had with Josh and John. I want to talk about more about that when we come back at the top of the hour. But for now, we're going to take a little break and hear some news. Be back in a minute.
Thank you for listening to this conversation from Faith Radio Mornings. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Faith Radio Mornings. Also, take a moment to subscribe to this podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player and never miss a show.